second, and if at any point you have questions during the call, press star one, and at the conclusion of the briefing, we will take a couple of questions. Now I'm turning it over to Governor Cuomo.
Good morning, everyone. We have a conference call. I'm joined by Jim Malatris, who's the New York State Director of Operations, Tom Prendergast from the MTA, Patrick Foy from the Port Authority, John Melville, who's head of emergency services, and Kevin Wisely, who's executive director of emergency services. As everybody's heard the weather reports, there's a possible storm headed our way, possibly a significant storm, depending on whose weather report you look at right now and what projection you look at. It might veer off and be nothing, or it might have a significant impact on the state. I have learned the hard way that it is better to prepare for the worst, in the past, we didn't take the worst-case scenario into full consideration, and we paid the price. So our way now is to err on the side of caution, and we're starting to get prepared because there are things that you can do before a storm that once the storm hits, it's too late. We're going to have the emergency operations centers are now staffing up by this evening. The emergency operations centers will be operational. The MTA is making all precautions, taking all precautions, pre-positioning equipment, clearing construction sites, possible hazards, pre-positioning generators, pumping equipment, etc. The Port Authority, basically the same thing. The Port Authority took a tremendous beating during Hurricane Sandy has done a significant amount of work since Hurricane Sandy to be better prepared. There's physical construction that has happened. Barrier walls are now up. There's new equipment at the airports to provide pumping if there's water that goes over the barriers, et cetera. Since we don't know if the storm is downstate or upstate, you have to prepare statewide, and there tend to be very different needs. Upstate New York, DEC, State's Environmental Agency, is going to be deploying teams with the National Guard today to clear sites that we know have been problematic in the past. So clear conduits, clear streams that have been problematic in the past. We're also saying to all local officials, county officials, towns, villages, we will waive the DEC permitting requirement starting today for work in the streams that needs to be done because local officials believe that there's an imminent danger to property if there is a significant storm. The streams shouldn't be altered, but debris, snags, et cetera, can be removed by local officials now without waiting for a DEC permit, and that's very important. We're also talking to all the utility companies statewide to make sure they have tree crews available, especially on Long Island with PSE&G, but statewide, and we're coordinating with all the emergency operators around the state, New York City, Nassau, Suffolk, Westchester, and upstate New York as well. Homeowners, I would take the normal precautions. We don't know exactly when the storm would hit. They're talking about Monday, Tuesday, but I would use the time to just buy some emergency supplies for the house and make sure there. If the wind is strong, there aren't things in the yard that could blow around and cause trouble. Again, we don't know yet what we're looking at exactly, but whatever it is, we want to be as prepared as we can be. Not that preparation ever means there won't be damage. We know that, but you can mitigate the damage, and that's what we are seeking to do, and being prepared and not taking anything for granted is the best step, and that's what we're doing. With that, any questions for myself and my colleagues would be our pleasure.
If you have a question, please press star one, and Kyle, our operator, will go ahead and begin to call on folks.
Your first question comes from the line of Ken Lovett from Daily News. Your line is open.
Good morning, Governor.
How are we doing, Ken?
Okay. So in preparing for this, is there a fear that, you know, is there any lasting damage from Sandy that could really be problematic, whether it's with the MTA tunnels, whether it's with, you know, things that are still not up to 100% that could be cause further problems now with another storm?
Well, it's a good question, and I'm going to ask Pat and Tom to chime in. I would say it the other way, Ken. I think we are back. Everything is back to where it was prior to Sandy. And, in fact, most things have been improved since Sandy. We learned a lot of lessons the hard way during Sandy, right? Because that was a situation that we had never encountered before. We have since done significant construction, repairing many of the situations that occurred. So lifting power stations, in the case of the airports, putting up a barrier wall, as well as procedures that we didn't have in place before. But let me turn it over to Tom first and then Pat, because it is an interesting question. Compared to Sandy, what kind of shape are we in?
We're in much better shape. I mean, the facilities that were severely damaged have been restored to the condition they were before the storm, and it's some better. Montague Street Tunnel has been totally rebuilt. Scores of millions of dollars, rebuilt the bench wall, the trackway, cleaned out all the drainage, and we hardened the signal relay room that was down there. We've put in a seawall along the Rockaway Branch going out across the flats to Jamaica Bay so that there's a very high likelihood we can maintain service throughout the – and, well, the storm wouldn't, you know, affect service once it was past us. We've got flood protection equipment and barriers up at Coney Island Yard to protect. We had three pump trains in place at the time Sandy occurred. We now have five, so in the event an Under River Tube floods, we can more quickly pump those out. And we're in a much better shape than we were heading into Sandy.
Governor, it's Pat Foy. We're ready for the storm. We're in a substantially better position, Governor, than when Superstorm Sandy hit 3 years ago. Since then, the Port Authority spent over $2 billion on recovery, mitigation, resiliency. That's affected all of our operations in both states. Electric substations at PATH have been raised. At LaGuardia Airport, a large generator was installed at the pump house to ensure that if there is water in the on the airfield, it can be pumped off quickly. That's true. Investment's been made at JFK, the Holland Tunnel, the Lincoln Tunnel, the ports on both sides of the Hudson, and the World Trade Center. Substantial amount of money has been spent. We've got 4 miles of barrier in place and about 170 electric generators that could provide emergency power, Governor, about 45 megawatts. We're ready.
Good. And let me just say this, just a note of caution. The we've experienced all sorts of natural conditions that never happened before, you know, and everyone is a little different, and everyone comes at you from a slightly different angle. So I think we are in better shape than we have ever been, but you never know, and Mother Nature comes up with a different spin every time we've dealt with it. So we've learned a lot of lessons, better procedures in place. As you heard, significant construction has been done. But, you know, depending from what direction, you never know what Mother Nature is going to throw your way.
Thank you.
Okay, Ken.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press stars and the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Matthew Showerman from WNYC Radio. Your line is open.
Thank you. I have a question, I think, particularly for Mr. Prendergast, follow-up on the previous one, which is, indeed, you may have repaired the damage from Sandy. What I'm wondering is, well, how vulnerable, since you apparently have not finished all of the resilience projects that you want to undertake to fully protect the system, to what extent are some of these projects, I'm thinking of the Montague Tunnel, but maybe there are other ones, where you've actually repaired the damage, but you haven't gone as far to prevent flooding in the future? And in fact, if there is a huge surge or huge flooding, all of the work that you've put into repairing and bringing it back to the condition before Sandy is going to be wiped out again.
Governor, you want me to respond?
Please.
I would not agree with that. First of all, we've made all those necessary repairs. For those resiliency projects that have not been completed, we would do what we normally do under these situations, which is to barricade and prevent flooding to occur. Even when Sandy hit and we lost as many tunnels as we did, there were other tunnels that were kept dry. And we've improved the methods of how we, you know, secure those locations and prevent water from coming into the tunnel. Certainly what you stated is true in the sense that there is a long time before we get all of the tunnel resiliency work done. But that doesn't mean we're going to sit here and just let tunnels flood if another storm comes our way. And we've been handling floods for years, decades, here at New York City Transit. And so the approach of this storm, we're actually going to learn from the lessons we had for both Irene in terms of how we shut down and Sandy in terms of what worked and what didn't work. But we will always have those exposures until the resiliency projects are completed. And as you know, we can't take all the tunnels out of service at one time and still maintain service for the city of New York with the record ridership we're seeing, 6 million people a day.
Can I just follow up on that and ask specifically about the Montague Tunnel, since you mentioned that? What resiliency measures have you taken there to make sure that the repair work will be protected under a future storm?
Well, the thing that was damaged the most, there's a signal relay house that's down at trackside, and we've literally put in submarine doors, and we've put in the ability to keep it watertight so water doesn't enter and do the significant damage to the signal relays that occurred. In terms of the rebuilding of the bench wall and the structures and putting in submarine cable that in the event the tunnel were to flood, it will be in a much greater likelihood of not doing any damage to that cable. And we have other infrastructure improvements in the way of keeping flooding from coming into that tunnel.
Thank you, sir.
Let me just add this to my colleague's comments. You prepare the best you can. Right, and we have taken extraordinary measures, especially post-Sandy. However, depending on what Mother Nature comes up with, I don't know that you can ever say at this point, whatever happens, we are prepared, okay? We put up a 4-foot barrier wall. Great, unless the sea rises 5 feet, right? I was in Buffalo a couple of months back, and there was they had prepared for 5 feet of snow, and the equipment was ready to handle up to 5 feet of snow, and 5 feet of snow hadn't happened in X years. Yeah, well, then we had 7 feet of snow. You know, so the 5 feet of snow preparation goes right out the window. So Sandy was a historic storm. And we did learn from that, and we did prepare for that. But again, I've learned the hard way never to say we are prepared for whatever comes our way, because you cannot be prepared for whatever comes your way. Next question.
Your next question comes from the line of Freeman Klopot from Bloomberg News. Your line is open.
Hi, Governor. Thanks for taking the time to answer our questions. Just wondering, as part of the preparations with the MTA at this point, does that include preparing to close down the system?
Thomas?
The plans that have been established and were first implemented in Irene, which is the first time we had an orderly shutdown of the system, followed up by Sandy, and that's a plan that was generated by New York City with full input from us. In a full hurricane, there are plans, in following that plan, there are requirements to protect the equipment, lay it up in locations where it will not be susceptible to wind damage or flooding as best as possible, and make sure that the system goes through an orderly shutdown such that when wind speeds, sustained wind speeds, reach 39 miles an hour, we don't have equipment out there. We also are the primary responsibility party for if the city were to order an evacuation from low-lying areas, we assist in that with our buses and our paratransit vehicles. So whenever there's an onset on the horizon of a potential hurricane, we put ourselves in a position to be ready to implement the plan as specified, that agreed-to plan. So that's the general answer to your question. But you don't get to that point until this is, like today, is way too far early in terms of what the forecasters are predicting the storm, where it will hit, and what its intensity will be.
Okay.
Yeah, and Freeman, you know, we've gone through this a few times. Do you close a road? Do you close a bridge? Do you close the MTA? These are very difficult calls. You make them only when you have to make them, and you make them with the best information that you have. And then my predilection is to err on the side of caution because you get second-guessed no matter what you do. We have left roads open, and we've had people stranded on roadways in very dangerous conditions. We close roadways, and then you hurt commerce, and you hurt motorists who are trying to get somewhere. Closing the MTA is obviously a major decision. If you don't close it and you wind up with a hurricane, you could damage equipment. It could take days to get the system back up and running. One of the reasons you close it is to protect the equipment. So post-storm, you get up to speed, pardon the pun, quickly. But closing the MTA has a dramatic effect on the economy of the whole metropolitan region. So, but we're nowhere near that. This is all preparation, what we call the pre-deployment phase. 3,000 National Guard have been notified that they could be deployed, for example. They have not been deployed, but they could be. And that's the stage we're in now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Nick Reisman from Time Warner Cable News. Your line is open.
Hi, Governor. I'm just wondering what sort of precautions and monitoring will be taking place at various dams upstate. Obviously, during Irene, you had the issue with the Gilboa Dam. I know that's been rebuilt, but just what sort of monitoring will be taking place at those structures?
That is ongoing right now. Again, we've had more experience in this area than I wish I had. But between the Power Authority and other state agencies, we have people pre-positioned at critical infrastructure locations. And we're going through that right now, Nick. Also, the point, Nick, about waiving the DEC regulations for local officials to do work in the streams. Often what happens, the flooding in upstate communities comes because the streams back up or there's a blockage at a conduit or at a different pipe. And that especially happens when the stream was filled with debris. So today, tomorrow, the next day, you don't need a permit from the DEC. If you can notify them, that would be great. But getting the streams and the conduits cleared now is very important.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Mark Santora from New York Times. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi, thanks. I think you've already answered it. It was just sort of where we are today versus where we were when Sandy struck, and I think you guys have already answered that, so thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Casey Saylor from Albany Times Union. Your line is open.
Hey, Governor, thanks. You mentioned some of the areas that gave trouble in the past. Nick asked about the Gilboa Dam. Could you or anybody sort of specify what some of those areas are, you know, Keene Valley, around Schoharie County, that kind of thing, anywhere else that are sort of on that list?
You know, Casey, here's the tough part of it. We have had problems everywhere, right? It depends on what angle Mother Nature comes at you and with what. Flooding, we know the areas that are prone to flooding, right? We have historical data on that. Wind is a different problem. Hail is a different problem. And then downstate is a totally different situation because it's more of a facilities problem. Whereas upstate, you have more of a natural landscape issue. It's the low-lying areas. It's the floods, the streams that tend to flood. Obviously, in the Capital District region, you have Schoharie, et cetera. But the areas that tend to flood repeatedly. And the critical infrastructure, we watch. And then downstate, it's a facilities question. But John Melville, Kevin Wisely, do you have, in terms of specific geographic areas, let's presume flooding. Where are we focused and concentrating?
Governor, this is Kevin Wisely. So as we typically are with any of these types of tropical storms, and as you articulated, it all depends on where the storm is and what happens. But certainly... areas of the southern tier in the Broome County area, areas in, you know, parts of the Mid-Hudson Valley and the Capital District region are areas that we are always concerned of when we have large amounts of rain. We've had, you know, this weather system that's already passed through the state, so we've had some soaking rains these last few days. And, you know, it's just the potentials in watching this track is so important to determine how much more rain we get. But as the governor articulated, it all depends on where that trajectory goes of the system. And then there's always the times that we have, you know, flooding in areas, even in the Capital District region where we had flooding in the town of Colony yesterday. It's not a usual occurrence for them, but it was just so much soaking rain in that one concentrated area that that caused some problems. So that's why we continue to remain vigilant and watching the weather systems. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. One problem we don't have anymore, Casey, is what what happened in the past was we had to wait to see where the storm hit and then deploy the resources to that part of the state. So you could be waiting 24 hours before and not knowing where the storm was going to hit. And then depending on the part of the state that was hit, all the resources had to be deployed. Irene was supposed to hit in New York City. So we sent all the resources to New York City. It didn't hit in New York City. It barely drizzled in New York City. But there was a tremendous storm in the Mid-Hudson and north. But all the equipment was in the city. We are much better prepared now than we were then. We now have regional stockpiles all throughout the state. We have people pre-positioned all across the state. And we have equipment everywhere in the state to deal with a situation should it arise. So, again, we learned the hard way many of these lessons, and I'm sure there are more lessons to learn. That's why I don't want to leave anyone on the phone with the suggestion that, well, post-Sandy, we're ready for anything. You cannot be ready for anything. And I can't tell you how many briefings I've been in where the apparatus was fairly confident that they could handle the situation, but the situation was more than we had anticipated. So we're doing the best we can. We're ahead of it. But I'm always have my heart somewhat in my mouth during these situations.
Thank you.
Okay.
Your last question comes from the line of Andrew Tangel from Wall Street Journal. Your line is open.
Hi, Governor. Andrew Tangel from the Wall Street Journal. Just a quick follow-up for Tom Prendergast on some of the preparations the MTA's made. Tom, I didn't know if you could tell us just broadly what kind of pumping equipment, tunnel blocking gates, stairwell and vent and manhole covers, et cetera, the EMC has purchased in Sandy, and how much more remains to be acquired by the EMCA, and overall, how many more billions of dollars of work in years ahead until the EMCA is both finished with repairing the Sandy damage and also fortified against a Category 2 hurricane?
Well, as the governor said, I mean, you know, we've had an ongoing effort, much like Pat Foy and the Port Authority, in terms of aggressively implementing the resiliency project, which hardened the system against weather events like this. And that's a long process, not only in terms of our ability to put the projects together, award contracts, and get them done, but the sequence in which we have to do that, because we can't shut down more than one or two, 1.5 under-river tubes at a time. So that we're a ways away from having a full completion of that multi-billion dollar effort with those Sandy funds. We have done Montague. We have done the seawall going out across the Jamaica Bay Flats. And we've hardened the system in a number of other locations as well. But that work will be ongoing for years before it will be totally completed. And the fact that we have been able to equip two additional pump trains, because tunnels do flood, and we've got flood protection out of Coney Island Yard, which is probably the largest storage yard in North America for rail, rapid transit equipment, are examples of that work ongoing. But it'll be a while, Andrew, before it's all done. But in the meantime, we are taking the necessary steps we always do to put up temporary enclosures and hardening the system where water can enter the system.
Okay, I think that was the last question. Let me just say this in closing. First, I want to thank the participants on the phone call, both my colleagues and the reporters who called in. And I think the bottom line is, although you can't be prepared for everything, there is no doubt that we are in a much, much better position than we've ever been before. As I've noted previously, I've had many more emergencies, natural emergencies, during my tenure than any other governor. We've learned from each one. Sandy obviously was downstate the most devastating. Irene upstate was very, very devastating, and some of the people downstate didn't appreciate it as much because they didn't live through it. But in terms of training, procedures, equipment, hardening of systems, there's no comparison to where we were before. There was a case of first impression before. So the entire system, whether you're talking about the MTA or the Port Authority or DOT facilities, they are all much, much better prepared than they've ever been. I just don't want to get arrogant or cocky, because I've been knocked to the ground a couple of times by Mother Nature, but there's no doubt that we are in a much, much better position than we've ever been before. We will continue to update you as we learn more.